from the redwood forest, the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me.
And this is David Swanson at the PeopleSpeakRadio.net. Welcome back to another program, and it is our pleasure to have with us this week a United States Senate candidate from Maine who is involved in a number of interesting campaigns in addition to her electoral campaign, including an effort to get Bush indicted in his family's vacation home of Kennebunkport, Maine. Lori, welcome to the program.
Thanks, David. I'd like to also mention I'm running as an independent.
Yes, so, we. I'd like to talk about your campaign and all of the reasons you're running and how you're running. But first, if it's okay, I think people would be extremely interested in what this whole indictment business is about.
Oh, no problem there. Well, let me just say there. You know, there have been obviously some questions raised about this new, you know, Bush indictment effort that we've launched in Kennebunkport. And I first began it in Maine after supporting the efforts of the Vermont towns, Brattleboro and Marlboro, which voted last week to indict Bush and Cheney in their municipalities. I don't know if you've mentioned that in your previous show, but, you know, most people around the country who are, you know, in the know are pretty aware that came about, and both towns voted affirmatively to indict Bush and Cheney. And while there's been an issue about the enforceability of those two resolutions, there are people in both towns that want to continue and press forward. So I have no doubt that in a matter of time there'll be some teeth to those, you know, to those resolutions or articles in those two towns. But at any rate, we hope to address all the indictment-related concerns that are going on in Kennebunkport, where we took this, you know, indictment initiative to the town office a week ago Tuesday, and have I've been 2 days after that, I went to the select board meeting where they were trying to tamp it down quite quickly and make it known that they did not want to entertain any resolution to indict Bush at, you know, take him out of the family compound or do anything of the sort. And made a bit of a sort of a joke out of it, but it is anything but a joke. This is a very serious undertaking, and we've got a Bush indictment council that's been put together that is very serious and seriously working to create a legal a brief. We've already started by having the first 7 pages of it already drafted, a working paper, and we have a number of international and national human rights lawyers and constitutional scholars and war crimes experts hard at work on it. David, you know some of them. And we're just moving forward with this thing. So we hope to address all these concerns at the upcoming public forum in Portland on Tuesday, March 18th, and we're calling it the Imperative of Indictment, the Bush-Cheney Indictment Legal Report. So, David, I'd also like to mention that it will be put up on tomorrow. I'll be posting a special preview of that, this legal working paper, on your site, so it'll be available for people there once it goes up. And also it'll be put up on my own website at www.dobsonforsenate.com.
Terrific. Yeah, the website, Lori, that we have information on indictment on is afterdowningstreet.org/indictkit. So afterdowningstreet.org/indictkit, I-N-D-I-C-T-K-I-T. So let me just ask you, I know that there are nations around the world that have taken it upon themselves to indict foreigners for foreign crimes against humanity. I know that there are certain nations, including Germany and France, that Donald Rumsfeld might have second thoughts about setting foot in because
right,
he could be
Belgium.
Arrested. Is the idea that we can actually establish a series of towns and counties, if not states, around the country where Bush and or Cheney can't set foot without being arrested?
That would be the ideal, and that is my aim, is to make sure that people around this country who, you know, right now are feeling so incredibly disenfranchised that we want to make sure that, that they understand that there are rights in our Constitution that have not been abrogated. And while, you know, we've all been, you know, over the last course of the Bush reign, we've been seriously undermined at every step, and I think people are getting used to it in a way, but you know, the depression that sets in as a result of that is not to be sort of understated. It's very important that people have a sense that, that their country is their own. I believe that I couldn't be running for office if I wasn't certain in my own rights as a citizen to do everything I could to bring forward to people what their own rights are, what they should exercise as lawful citizens. And you know, the sense of empowerment around that is what we have to make any progress with this, you know, this political system of ours, which has been, you know, has had some serious attacks from this administration. And so what we're doing is making sure that from table to table in every, you know, every home in this country, by the time we're done, my goal is that people will, you know, will understand that this is something they can take up as citizens in their own municipalities. And the reason for this is clear, that since, and we're proving it in this, and we will continue to contend for this in this effort that we're putting forward. And the point being that everybody, because these war crimes are the serious and most serious laws in the land and most egregious to break, that there have been provisions put through into international treaties which are protected under our Constitution, and the jurisdiction that is there, the universal jurisdiction for war crimes enforcement, that because of the serious nature of these crimes, everyone at any place, whether it's, you know, a dental worker that's working on somebody's mouth in Paraguay or Bolivia, you know, and notices a person who they understand is a war criminal, can bring themselves forward, themselves as, you know, lawful citizens of the world under the, you know, Geneva treaties and principles and charter and other international UN treaties, which our country has signed on to, so we're signatories, that anybody anywhere that believes that there is a war criminal out there, that particularly that what we're doing is saying when they, you know, if they pass into the laws, through the limits of the town, that this, you know, that any person has the right to bring these articles forward into and pass, will show how it can be done, that in that locality, even in a municipal, at the lowest level, the municipal level, we can get war criminals prosecuted, and we can bring them in, and we do not have to wait for Nancy Pelosi and all the others to get it together to, you know, allow us to take the Constitution and to exercise it in defense of our country. So that's a long-winded way of saying it, but what I'm basically saying is that we're taking this down to the kitchen tables across this country, and it can be done there. And one benefit of what I'm doing, particularly here in Kennebunkport, is showing that, you know, since I live, you know, 3 miles as the crow flies from the Bush compound, if I can do it here, if I can do it in Kennebunkport, and just stand up and say, you know, not in my town, not under our roof, but, you know, if I see a war criminal in my town, I have the right to defend myself and my family and my town and say, no, he cannot be in this town. He is a war criminal. It's been done around the world. It's starting to be done, and it's been done in Dublin, Ireland. The whole entire city has an ordinance 2 years ago enacted. It's been attempted and worked through to a certain level in the Japanese Diet, the parliament there. And, you know, Germany has some laws that are getting stiffer, and all over the world, you know, there are efforts to do this. So I think that this will also provide some spine and some strength and inspiration, you know, in our country where we definitely need it to be able to take this matter into our own hands and not wait for the world to tell us to take care of this monster, but to start doing it ourselves and, you know, undertake the kinds of action that will give us our sense of our country back again, you know, our damaged esteem and status in the world, but our own sense of self and our own pride in home and country. So that's what I believe we can do. And I believe out of that, you know, a great amount of healing can occur. And I really do hope for that.
Well, let's try to bring some people from their kitchen tables in on this conversation with us here this evening. This is David Swanson at the PeopleSpeakRadio.net, and we are speaking with United States Senate candidate, an independent candidate from the state of Maine, Lori Dobson, and we're speaking about resolutions and proposals and initiatives to indict Bush and Cheney happening at the local level now around the country. If you want to get in on this conversation from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada, toll-free, call us up right now at 888-228-4494. That's 888-228-4494. Or from anywhere else in the world, 877-489-6350. That's 877-489-6350. So Lori, you're taking this to Bush, the Bush family hometown, which may be the oddest and toughest place, perhaps to take this. But what are some of the other towns and how many, localities around the country now? I know that 90 some towns and cities have passed impeachment resolutions and one state senate, the Vermont state senate, has passed an impeachment resolution urging Congress to impeach. But this indictment thing is fairly new. How many places are looking at it?
Well, we've heard from some. I know that there's some people in Vermont that are in touch with some folks in Wyoming, in Cheney's hometown. So, you know, I think the goal would be to make it, you know, extremely uncomfortable for Mr. Cheney as well, following, you know, his leaving the office there. Because I just think that I don't see that it's really the job of Americans to, you know, who are going to be suffering with this, the policies of this administration for generations to come, to have to put up with these fellows and help them recreate and enjoy the towns at their expense. You know, it's been a particularly heavy hit every time Bush comes to Kennebunkport with all the security that he requires, you know, whether he's going biking or fishing or, you know, getting Secret Service people to extricate him off the rocks when he, you know, tends to, you know, get stuck there. You know, basically just an awful lot of work and headaches. And I think that that would grow. So I think this effort will have a, you know, certain particular appeal to the towns that have to host these two. However, you know, there's West Hollywood, there's several other towns that have been mentioned to me in the recent days that are now calling our Bush Indictment Council people to discuss the opportunities for this. And I think that, of course, the list will grow as they see that it is something that's, you know, more easy to accomplish. And that's our goal with this indictment kit. And what we're going to do is do a special, you know, preview of that, like I said, on your website, so that people understand what the details will be for this, you know, legal report. However, what we're going to be doing is also calling, we're going to be having a special forum at the Meg Perry Center in Portland on March 18th at 644 Congress Street at 7 o'clock to discuss this. Harold Burbank, who has been drafting this working paper and who's a war crimes expert and human rights lawyer in his own right, a very accomplished man, is working with a number of others, including some top law students who are working specifically on case law, who've been appointed there for that. Dr. Francis Boyle, international scholar and and war crimes expert, international human rights attorney, is also going to be. Has also been helping us. There are some other people around the country who are not only running for office right now, who are lawyers, but who are also themselves running and being, you know, and busy helping us with pro bono work. So you know, I call these people the true patriots, Richard Duffy, a few others, and I just really honor and acknowledge them, Robert Feuer. So I'm hoping that we can, you know, get some real steam behind this effort and keep going forward as we go. I think as we show that it's doable, I think it will embolden others, because, you know, it did take a while for impeachment to sort of pass muster in the eyes of many. You know, it was the latest hot button issue at the time, just like the Iraq War was when I was in against the war in 2002, and that was, you know, that was the unmentionable word at the time, was being anti-war. Then it was anti-impeachment, and now it's, you know, oh goodness, we can't indict, but certainly we can do whatever we need to do, you know, to make sure that we get this country back again. And why I think indictment is particularly important is that it's the true answer to the true crimes of our day. These are war criminals, and it's hard for us to say that. It's hard for us to admit it, but it's important not to deny that that is truly what has happened to our Constitution. The breaking of these laws has been a war crime by invading Iraq, by invading Afghanistan. Not initially in Afghanistan, because we did have UN resolutions there, but what we didn't have was the ability to occupy it and to treat its people as under Abu Ghraib and other places where we've held prisoners unlawfully. We've been breaking UN rules there as well. And Harold lays it all out very specifically in the working paper. So I look forward to discussing that, in Portland. But also, I've got three forums coming up in Kennebunkport to discuss this as well. So
Lori, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I want to talk about all of the crimes and offenses and how this works. But it is an idea that seems to be spreading quite rapidly. I know of towns in Oregon and California that are taking it up. And another home territory for both Bush and Cheney is Texas. And people are starting to call in here to ask you about this. And the first caller we've got is Nella from Houston, Texas, on the line. Nella, thanks for calling the program. Nella, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
I'm talking to Lori Dodson, right?
Yes, you are.
Yes. Hi, Nella.
Please.
How are you?
Hello. How are you, Laura?
Hello,
I mean,
good, thank you.
What I'm criticizing is we were very fast with impeaching Bill Clinton. It was just boom, boom, boom. And now we have a government that supports war. Innocent people got killed. His term is over in a couple months, and we still have not started to impeach him. The moment it came out, the war was based on lies. He should have been impeached. With him, his co-workers, may I call him Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld and who else is behind it. None of them spoke from impeachment, and this is what really affects me personally, because through this, thousands of people died. I don't want to even talk about the American people. I want to talk about the Iraqi people. Thousands have died. So why does it take so long to impeach a president who is wrong? This is what is my question. I'm really sad about it, that it is not possible.
Nella, it's a very, very good question. Thank you for calling with it. I would point out that this myth that they only have a couple months left is pulled out of complete thin air, although it's very popular. They have 10 months left during which they can do enormous damage and during which we can accomplish enormous things. Lori, do you want to take this question on?
Sure, and I believe that, unfortunately, the number that I've heard, is according to Dennis Kucinich's reports, was 1.2 million Iraqis have died. And in this, these are estimates. We don't have an accurate body count, but it's a staggering amount, and I think that, I share the same disbelief that we could, that this much corruption could have invaded our own legislature as well, in not being able to stand up whatever it should take to stand up. They should be doing it, and the falling down in the duty to bring this administration to account is why, one of the reasons I'm running. I didn't see a dialogue between the Democrat in the race and the Republican, Susan Collins, and her contender, Tom Allen. I did not see the discussion about impeachment happening, and I just laid it out there from day one and said, this Congress is just acting, reprehensibly. These inane, these are two congressmen who've been there 12 years. They've continued the war funding. They have not, one of them's acting actually like the anti-war champion. MoveOn's, I think, contributing vast amounts of money to his campaign and calling him a hero of the anti-war movement. But I don't believe when you continue to prosecute an illegal war that I believe is an ongoing war crime. These are war criminals, and I take it to people. I pose the question that by enabling these war criminals, Bush and Cheney, This act of enabling and condoning is similar to the good Germans who allowed tyranny and oppression to reign over Germany and have tainted them for generations. So I think, you know, we're heading into this kind of a dark phase. We must fight this. We must call it out. And we must tell any Democrats and Republicans that are going along with this by not fighting it that they're part of the problem. And we have to face the sad truth of this. And I thank you for your call.
Lori, as you know, I'm driven, as you are, largely by the criminality and the murderousness of this war. But when we had that forum in Brattleboro prior to the successful vote on indictment, and we both spoke there, a gentleman came up to me at the end who was filming a documentary, and he asked me, you know, he said effectively, "I'm for impeachment, but why do you peaceniks have to always keep dragging the war into it?" And so I'm wondering, what about somebody in a town somewhere who wants to see Bush and Cheney indicted, or at least symbolically indicted, for spying without warrants, or detaining without charge, or rewriting laws, or advancing global warming, or refusing to comply with subpoenas, or outing CIA agents, or turning the Justice Department into the Republican Party and firing U.S. attorneys, or, you know, the laundry list of endless crimes. I mean, there are quite a few impeachable offenses that are not crimes, but there's so many that are crimes. Do the war crimes have a special relationship to this strategy of indictment, or can you just pick your favorite crime, or do you not even need to specify?
Well, that's a good question, David. First of all, I think that it does go back, as it encompasses the war issue, because there was a breach of our Constitution there on an ongoing basis. But all those other things you mentioned certainly fall under offenses against our Constitution. And, you know, these people were appointed by us and given us, we gave them our public trust and confidence to the extent that they would do the job in, you know, fulfilling their oath of office, which was, you know, to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And I believe there have been so many failures there. We could enumerate many, many, many of them. You know, people have. There have been many cases for impeachment, written by many, many good scholars, good people, dedicated people, and the case has been made. The reason that we're going forward on this particular issue, first of all, because I believe that I cannot hold back out of a sense that, you know, maybe I should just play a little more to the status quo and be a little more easy to, you know, to have people absorb this. But I think it's necessary to put things in our faces that we have to know about what we have to change. And this is the most egregious crime that has been committed because it's already been determined that war crimes are the most egregious, the highest laws in the land, the most serious law in the land to break is committing a war of aggression. And those wars of aggression, those two wars of aggression, we have committed, and we're contemplating more. We're not, the Bush is, but you know, if we don't fight it actively, then we are, you know, by abdication also going along with that. And so that's why I believe that war crimes, like, I can't personally tolerate in my life that I've ever allowed war criminals to exist without being brought to justice, without having justice, and not in my country. So that's where I do take a stand. You know, I don't want war criminals living in my town, you know, shooting it up just like, you know, savages and barbarians. It's not civilized. It's not good. And it's not a good place to raise children, you know, trying to make a better world. So that's why I justify the war crimes basis also because there is so much in law that's enforceable against it. It is the easiest law to bring at any level, you know, from the municipal all the way to the top. And, you know, at any level, you can prosecute for war crimes. And I think that for people that may want to take to their towns other options, that's of course possible. You know, you can take your town and, you know, you can go to your town if it hopefully is the type of state that you're in that is, you know, Maine is one of the best in the state to begin to try to undertake this sort of thing because of our citizen legislation and the way our law, you know, our legislation is organized for that. So, you know, for town hearings, for any number of things. But I think it's important that, that we try this in every place, wherever it can be possibly done, And, you know, if people have particular inroads in their own town to get something like this passed, I suggest that they do it. I think it could be done, say, in Brattleboro. They kept it to the Constitution, you know, the ways that it was violated, and that certainly can be done. But I do think we should go for enforceability at this point, David, because it is counterproductive to take a town through a process like this and not strengthen the laws, not learn from you know, things as we go along. And each time we do this, the beauty of upholding this from town to town is that the inspiration and the creativity of people emboldened to take back their country, you know, gets brought in. So it's like, you know, a town-wide meeting all across America where people do this in their localities. It's citizenship, it's grassroots citizenship, constitutionally reclaiming their, you know, their lives and their homes and their families and their futures. So I think it's important to do it however it can be done all across our country. And I encourage people to take it up.
Well, the wonderful thing I thought about, what you and all the good people up there in Brattleboro did, was generate really a national news story about it. And if that continues and this movement to pass indictments in towns around the country generates a public discussion of the crimes, it seems conceivable to me that along with other factors, it helps push the Congress to do what it's supposed to do and impeach.
Right.
Is that the primary or one of the goals of this indictment movement, to sort of set the bar higher so that impeachment now becomes a step that Congress is more likely to consider?
Well, I certainly hope so. Perhaps by saying indictment, the word impeachment sounds tame by comparison. It certainly
right.
does seem to be that there's a big onrushing you know, effort continuing now on impeachment, and I'm so thankful to see that it's a flame that isn't dying out. And yet, you know, we all do understand there is a shelf life. Tim Carpenter of the PDA, Progressive Democrats, said that, you know, this is an effort that is going to be a different kind of an effort in February than it is in March and April. Of necessity, we have to find ways to keep fighting to reclaim and restore, you know, the balance of powers that Dennis Kucinich also fought for. You know, you were at that forum in Manchester, New Hampshire, when I was there. And very important effort to make sure that our Constitution is defended. So I do hope it gives some spine to those many invertebrate types of legislators we have out there. And I just want to say also, David, you know, some people have been telling me, oh, my gosh, you know, I fear for you. I'm so concerned about your safety, this, that, and the other thing. You know, people seem to be traumatized by what could happen if they step through a certain line of fire and go beyond, you know, if they go into this vacuum area where there is no status quo discussion that makes it easy, there's no real solidarity to bring things forward to initiate. But that's what leading is about, and that's what pioneering was about for our forefathers. You know, when they went into the lands that hadn't been tamed, that didn't mean that, you know, they could anticipate every possible thing that would happen to them, but there's life there. You know, there's the exploration and the exercise in our democracy to explore what we have as citizens. I mean, I think we're just tired of not exercising our democracy right now. And I, you know, without a vision, people perish. So, as they say, I think it's time for a vision. I think it's time for a bold vision. And so I do hope that, you know, this inspires people to take that extra step, because it can be done. And, you know, I'm here to do it right here in Kennebunkport. So, you know, I don't think the town's enjoying it all that much. Perhaps they are. But, you know, I really hope that it creates a dialogue in towns, you know, in people's homes and in their places of work, you know, in the places where they get together, their communities, you know, where they gather and, you know, where they meet people. I hope it becomes a discussion. I mean, that's what I love about this is, you know, this is exciting because it's something that we haven't tried before. You know, prosecuting for a war you know, crimes, or putting it even a war crime tribunal on the local level, you know, hasn't been done on a municipal way before. But we have the ability to do this lawfully. I'm, you know, confidently assured that this can be contended, and we are going to do it. And I just believe once people are emboldened to try what they believe is right, they find it within them, you know, the means to do it. So that's what we're going for.
I think it is an inspiration. It's creative, it's democratic, and it's just, and it seems to be catching on, and people are calling in, but we need to take a very short break. We've rushed through the first half of this program in no time. This is David Swanson at the PeopleSpeakRadio.net. We're speaking with U.S. Senate candidate from Maine, independent Lori Dobson. We will be back in a few, and we will be taking your calls from anywhere in the United States or Canada, toll-free at 888-228-4494, and anywhere else in the world, 877-489-6350. This is the People Speak Radio. Back in a few.
This land is yours. Join us on the People Speak Radio Show every Tuesday and Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern for an hour of live interview and audience interaction with guests from the realms of entertainment, education, activism, spirituality,
Lori, are you there?
Hi, David. Hi, David.
To make
a difference
for the better. We've got another caller waiting, but hopefully he'll wait. Depending on what callers want to talk about, do you want to switch to talking about some other issues and your campaign in general?
According to polls, a majority of Americans support the impeachment of Dick Cheney. To make people aware of this, the Honk to Impeach campaign has been organized. People will be carrying Honk to Impeach signs in front of congressional district offices and TV and radio stations. Visit ImpeachSpace.com and ImpeachCheney.org for updates of this effort. And don't forget to Honk for Impeachment.
It's significant not just for the town that I'm in, but if Maine votes me in as their next senator, it's kind of significant. So I would like to address that a little too.
Yeah. Okay. You want to talk any about other issues, budget, foreclosures, housing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've got not Sam Houston, but we have Sam from Houston on the line. If he's still there when we get back.
Find the right answer. A
whole lot more. Lori, we shut down Congress today.
Sorry.
More than 1 million children are forced into prostitution every year because of sex tourism. Morocco has become a favorite destination. Economic difficulties contribute to the alarming growth of this industry. SOS Morocco's mission is to let the world know that it's against the law, a human and moral crime, to travel to Morocco with the intent to engage in sexual activity with a child. Please visit sosmorocco.org for more information and to support our endeavors.
And we're back. This is David Swanson at the PeopleSpeakRadio.net, and we are privileged to have with us for just about another half hour U.S. Senate candidate from Maine, independent Lori Dobson. And we do have a caller on the line if he's managed to hang on during our break, and we'd like to bring him in on the conversation. Sam from Houston, you're on the air with Lori Dobson. Sam from Houston, are you with us?
The question is to Lori, senatorial candidate of Maine. I'm glad to have a chance to ask you this. You were saying that you are running as an independent against a Democrat. What is the criticism of the Democrats? What is it that turns you off from that party?
Good question.
Well, in fact, I will tell you, I've been when I was young, I was a Republican, and then I became a Democrat. I actually worked very hard for the Democrats. So I ran as a Democrat in the Democratic Party in 2002, and I fought against the war. It was my experience back then that that anything that was difficult to say, they were rather uninclined to say. So I thought at the time it was just a general timidity, but having also worked for Kerry's campaign, the Southern Vermont coordinator for the Kerry campaign, I did a lot there. I've worked for in other ways politically, and I just think my experience has been with the Democrats that it is difficult for them to assert themselves on issues that people are telling them are very important. This is mostly you know, I mean, it's been, I believe that, that with Gore and also with Kerry, had they strongly come out on some of the progressive issues that, you know, people were clamoring for them to take on, from Jim Hightower to even from Nader, you know, right back in the beginning, you know, I think if they had taken on those issues that people wanted them to take on, you know, if Kerry had spoken out about the war, and because, you know, he knew, you know, he despised what Cheney was doing back then. I talked to him, but their manner of working was to be behind the scenes and not to polarize and not to, you know, not to be in the face of the Republicans. And so, you know, you don't see Democrats doing that much. But I believe that, you know, the tactic of hanging back and staying, you know, in the center and not engaging and not, you know, fighting tough, you know, tough fighting to get their points across, I think it's made people, I really think it's undermined the party, because they seem to have to be now the party that accommodates and the party that sort of allows these egregious things to happen. And so they've gotten kind of boxed in by their own failure to lead and, you know, to take on things that maybe are a bit risky. But that's the mark of leadership, and I think that FDR did it. I think other, you know, presidents down the line have done it. And that's what I look for in leaders, is, you know, willingness to take something on for the rightness of the effort, and not because it's something that you can be convinced will succeed. And I was dismayed at Kerry's campaign. I think he could have won, you know, if he'd just gone that extra length, he could have had a landslide. We wouldn't be fought, you know, and Ohio wouldn't have been an issue. So, you know, just things like that. But also there are many progressives out there that are, you know, trying to fight to make a better party out of it. And I think the refusal to listen to those voices is part of the problem. So my personal thinking about that is that, you know, you've got corporate interests there having kicked in. John Conyers admitted that, you know, Democrats were now on the same par with Republicans in terms of, you know, getting the money to keep, you know, keep operations afloat. And when you've got special interests kicking in there, you know, lobbyists and all kinds of money playing a part, you're going to have people that are unwilling to say the things that people want them to say, because they're going to be, you know, they have a lot to lose. And I think once people have a lot to lose, they've lost sight of their public duty, and I think it's time for them to go. And you know, I think in time, you know, it's time for Congress to, a lot of Congress has gone along with this war and Bush and everything. I just think it's time to fire Congress for its complicity. So but I definitely think it's important to consider that this may be the year for independence, for, you know, there's nothing written into the Constitution that guarantees a two-party, you know, Democrat and Republican system. And I think that party reform is part of what makes a good country. It's been said by many presidents that it's a necessity to take that on. And so I think that, you know, this running as an independent is also the opportunity for people to, you know, to call for reform of these two parties without worrying that they're going to be told to, you know, come down off the message and, you know, be told that they should, you know, control what they're saying, which is what happened to me in 2002. And I finally had to break with the mold and, you know, be my own candidate. I'm so glad that I did, and I'm even, you know, more glad that I'm running now as an independent. It was, you know, it was a bit of an issue when I first decided I was going to just finally make a break with the Democrats. But there's nothing wrong with being independent. You know, you can still be as much of a patriot as ever. You know, in fact, I think I'm more of one because I stand on my own sense of conscience. I'm not being dictated to by a party about what I believe. I can believe what I believe. I can stand for it. And while I don't have a throng of people behind me, I have an awful lot of support in Maine, because this state's very strong for independence, and that's one reason I'm doing so well. When I get my petitions out there, you know, people ask me if I'm with the parties, and, you know, I say, no, I'm an independent, and they seem reassured, and they grab my pen, and so I get my petition signed a whole lot better that way. And I think the country's coming around to being somewhat disillusioned by the two-party system, the entrenched big money corporate parties, and you know, want something different. So I'm riding the crest of that enthusiasm. It's a good time to be an independent. I think it's a you know, a real opportunity in Maine to be an independent. So I'm happy for that. That's one reason I decided to you know, to leave the Democrats. And while I would caucus with them, I don't think I could ever actually become one until the party's drastically improved. So.
Lori, it's refreshing, whatever party you're running in or lack thereof, to hear a candidate who speaks the way you do, because so many do not. And we were talking during the break, and you suggested that I mention on the air that this effort of stop-loss Congress that went on the past 3 days and culminated in numerous arrests on Capitol Hill of primarily college students today, blocking the exits from Congress, effectively delivering them stop-loss orders the way they do to our servicemen and women in Iraq, saying you are stop-loss, you are staying another year, although you've served out your contract. These college students were saying to Congress members, you are stop-loss, you are not going home on vacation next week unless you end this occupation that we elected you to end. And your response to my discussion of this over the break was completely positive, and yet there are hardly any Congress members on either side of the Hill who had any sort of support for this notion of actually ending the occupation of Iraq. Congressman Dennis Kucinich was the only Congress member during 2 days of lobbying who told us that he supported this idea, you know, of actually ending the thing rather than just making nice gestures in that direction. So I'd love to know what more you think of that, but also we do have people calling in, and we should bring them in on this. You can call into the People Speak Radio from anywhere in the world, 877-489-6350, or in the United States and Canada, 888-228-4494. We have Monica from Germany on the line. Go ahead, Monica.
Hi, Monica.
Hi, Laurie. It's an honor to speak with you. I have a question. How do you, you with the Independence Party, right? How do you see, or do you see the influence Israel as its own state has on this government, and the American government works hand in hand with Israel, and we have a disaster down in the Middle East? What is your view on this?
Well, I've said it already. It's on my website. You can go to YouTube, where I have a 50-minute TV interview with a student radio station, and I said at the time, for public record, so I'll repeat it here, that that I think that AIPAC money is a problem, and I also think that the influence there, I think the communications industry, there's a whole lot of uncomfortable ties, and one of the things I look forward to in any impeachment investigation or an indictment effort is that, you know, we need information in our country about what's going on. So behind the scenes, the things that we don't know, the energy task force issue, you know, where Cheney decided, you know, he was going to set the prices, and you know, we didn't get to know about that, but now we're feeling the effects of that, you know, of all of these different things that have happened, you know, that truth about many, many things that just don't, you know, settle in us, that don't sit right. And, you know, I think it'll be a process of uncovery, but as far as, you know, the Palestinian issue, I really believe that that thing that, you know, everybody's delicately calling a fence is truly a wall, and it walls people off, and it's inhumane. I don't believe in walls. I think that it was a good day in Germany when that wall came down, and I think that cooperation and dialogue among nations, not a clash of civilizations, I think that is the way to go, and working to the advantage of other nations to actively benefit each other. You know, that's the definition of friendship, and countries can be friends to each other to the extent that they truly are friends. You know, you don't buy a friend. You don't have to. You earn a loyalty. You earn a friendship by being a good neighbor, and it's one thing I think our country is sadly in need of relearning. So I would welcome, you know, more alliances with European countries, with the United Nations, to embolden and to strengthen the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and all the UN treaties that we've broken. We have, you know, we have a road of recovery where we have to show the world, you know, we have to actively show the world that we are a good neighbor again. And this is what I think is beautiful about the indictment effort, in my view, is that any person in the country, in our country, a U.S. citizen, has the right to show any citizen of the world that we want to be good neighbors. And one of the ways we do that is by showing that we don't tolerate war criminals in our country. You know, we wouldn't want other countries to be, you know, to be blessing and condoning them. So why should we? And we've tolerated them for, you know, in our presidency, in our administration, the time has come to end that, to actively end that, to seek to end that, and not to just abide it and wait. I think waiting is not the solution, because I saw people with that same attitude, back in 2002. I remember people in some peace organizations saying, well, we're just going to wait and stay calm and meditate a lot and wait until 2004, because, of course, by then we will have a Democratic president. And I don't think we can afford to wait. I think our country has gotten only worse by waiting. So action is what we have to have now, not pretty words. And you hear a lot of politicians talking, but my proposal as far as Israel, to get back to your question, is that I think that the $30 billion that we're now spending to buy that friendship, when only yesterday seemed like it was $6 billion, I think we could do far better by sharing alliances of goodwill with all countries and just letting Israel know that that's our intent, is to be a good neighbor and help them in the world, certainly stay safe and secure, but not by making the situation more acute and more impossible, which only inflames the Middle East, and really finding out what it takes to be a good neighbor there, helping that area to settle down and to create stability with working through the influence that we have in diplomacy and other methods, but to really show the world that we're putting all of our effort out there and not holding back on that.
Lori, I sat through a hearing today on the Hill with Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, and it would have been wonderful for you to be sitting there. This was on the House side, but for you to be in these hearings as a United States Senator. And I think people around the world should know that they can spread the word about your campaign, and people around the United States should know that they don't have to live in Maine in order to support one of the better candidates we've heard of for the United States Senate, and they can go, tell me if I get this wrong, to DobsonForSenate.com or .org.
No, that's right, .com, but they do have to type in, Dave, they have to type in www.DobsonForSenate.com.
Okay,
and
great.
I do hope people have a chance to check it out.
We are running up against the clock here, and I'd like to try to get another caller in before we run out of time. Joe from Springfield, Virginia, you're with Lori Dobson.
Great. Thanks, David. And Lori, thank you for running. Man, we need you. And David, thanks for signing my petition a couple weeks ago, and you're doing great work. The question I have is to make sure that Lori knows about the new Initiative for Democracy, and what you think about that, if you're familiar with that. Mike Gravel wrote about it in his new book called Citizen Power, which is actually a rewrite of his 1971 book while he was a senator. So I'd advise you to, advocate. Obviously, what you're advocating is important, but as Mike says, the only possibility of government reform is through empowerment of the people. And so I want to get your take on that.
Lori, are you familiar with this idea whereby people can actually, along the lines of town hall meetings in Vermont, actually enact legislation?
I'm not specifically interested, but I was following Gravel, and I really appreciated his refreshing approach to, truthful and truth-telling in his campaign. I was only sorry that he had to, that they weren't allowed to continue the dialogue and the debates any longer than they were. So, David, I'm not specifically familiar with that, but but in my own campaign, my planks are definitely encouraging of empowering people and getting them to have a stronger part of their government. I didn't mean to mention before, while this is a very important new initiative that our campaign has taken on, it's a couple weeks old, and since October I've been fighting to also talk about some concerns of mine that have been very strong. I did start initially against my three planks were being anti-war, pro-impeachment, and universal health care coverage. But I saw early on, even before Hillary and Edwards were talking about mortgage foreclosures, that it was a serious issue, especially with the uptick in these interest rates, with 15 million foreclosures anticipated, before July, that's in this half year here, from January to July, it's just, it's a devastating situation. So I proposed a mortgage foreclosure freeze, for 5 years until things stabilize, and it's a stopgap, but to keep all of the vital industries and, the people in their homes, and keep the economy running, keep it healthy so that we just don't have a breakdown of our economy with this predatory lending. And then the other thing that I did also mention, and I have a 12-point recovery program for the, you know, to deal with the Bush Depression. And one of the main things in that is restructuring the tax situation so that we have a new revenue source that that was originally proposed by Jim Wright, Speaker of the House in the 80s, is shut down by Newt Gingrich, but it was called the Tobin Tax. James Tobin, a Nobel Peace Prize winner, very important thing, and I would just call for a modest 1% on the sale of all financial papers. It was originally designed to discourage speculation, and we had instituted back then, Mr. Wright was right, we could have stemmed this huge speculative bubble that we're, you know, now seeing collapse, and, you know, so many devastated people along with it. So I think our government must be more accountable to people's needs. I believe in a real democratic tradition, you know, FDR tradition. That's what I believe our country ought to work towards. And that was a bipartisan effort back then. But we did, you know, we faced a necessary regulation of the banks and the banking laws and practices of businesses and corporations. I think we have to undertake some significant fundamental change in our country right now to get it back to where, you know, we have some state stability. And we've been going down a wrong direction here, tax cuts and, you know, suspending rights. And it seems like anything that was done was Orwellian by being the opposite, having the opposite effect. You know, No Child Left Behind, Clear Skies initiatives. I mean, we're in a dreadful state. You know, we have to start talking truth to people. And I think that's the main empowerment, is being truthful to people and to each other. I think it'll help us culturally as well.
Well, we're in a situation, as you know all too well, where we have the least popular president and vice president in history since polls have been done, and a Congress that is even less popular, at least taken as a whole. And it may be that that people tend to like or value for some reason their particular Congress member, or it may not be. But the fact remains that incumbents almost never lose. And clearly some turnover would be healthy for our democracy. How, the space of 2 minutes, do you propose to unseat an incumbent, and what can people do to help?
Well, let me quickly read you something that somebody just sent me today, a link to, I get some wonderful information from people. A gentleman from Massachusetts sent me on a speech that was given on February 26th in 2008 in the House. It was actually by Mr. Rohrabacher, who spoke for 60 minutes. It's not been put on any media. I never heard of the speech, but it's quite stunningly strong. And
a Republican Congress member, we should point out.
Yes, he was, and he just was a 10-year senior member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, a chairman and ranking member of an investigative subcommittee, and he said he witnessed firsthand behavior by the Bush administration that he found deeply troubling. The disdain and uncooperative nature, I'm reading this here, that the administration has shown toward Congress, including Republican members, is so egregious that I can no longer assume that it's simply bureaucratic incompetence or isolated mistakes, but that this administration has intentionally obstructed Congress's rightful and constitutional duties. And in the closing, he said that he hoped that American people would carefully consider who their leaders are going to be and carefully consider the issues of the day. He spoke that we had a wonderful democracy in a society with the balance of power set up for us, but it was important, he said, that we maintain this balance of authority, the legislative, executive, and judicial in this country, and we should not be setting precedents that the President of the United States has the lion's share of the power in this great democracy of ours. And his final statement was that the power is rested in these three branches and in the people themselves. And the people are asking us now to impeach this president by 51%. They've been asking for a changing of the guard, and they don't want to wait to see that, you know, the justice is done. I don't want them to wait. So I just think that we must start showing that the democracy is ours right now, and right in this moment we have the power to do that. And thanks to our laws, we have some means we can exercise, and because I'm very thankful that I've been able to be part of the effort to, you know, help that come about, hopefully a little sooner, so a little less damage gets done.
It's wonderful to hear. Lori Dobson, independent candidate for the United States Senate from the great state of Maine. Lori, thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Well, thank you for having me on, and good luck down there in Washington tomorrow and the days to come for all your work.
We'll
there,
work
David.
On it. We'll work on it. And this has been David Swanson at the People Speak Radio, and next week on Monday, not Wednesday, which is 5 years of occupying Iraq next Wednesday, and go to resistinmarch.org to find out what you can do about it. But on Monday, I will be interviewing retired General William Odom, Monday, March 17th, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time at the PeopleSpeakRadio.net. Thanks for being with us.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the sea, by the relief of the fast, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is yours. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream water. Yeah.